Healthcare and senior care is fraught with problems and challenges, but we're also seeing some amazing new clinical treatments and resources. This show will help illuminate and uncover the good, bad, and the ugly in order to equip patients, families, and other healthcare providers. Welcome to Senior Care Confidential.
Hey, Joe.
Good morning, Brian.
Hey, so I thought we would do something today is something that you and I get questions on a lot. And I just had another few questions, a few patients and family members calling me this week. And it's all the confusion about what services or what resources are available for my loved one. And so we get a lot of questions about home care versus home health care and some other things like who pays for what. So I figured we would do a show on that today to kind of be as a resource because we still get all these questions almost daily about what the confusion is. And I know you in your own world, you see some of the same stuff.
Mm-hmm. I get questions every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people think that, so people get confused with home health, that mm-hmm. they think that home health is every day, four right. hours a day, 6 hours a day.
Home health.
Yeah. Home health.
Yep.
That's not the case.
Yeah.
So home health, you say, tell us what is home health, the standard typical patient on home health?
Yep.
What does he get and how long does it last?
I will tell you that Medicare doesn't do itself any favors in how they advertise their own services that they pay for. And so this also leads to some confusion. Now, in Medicare's defense, you don't want things to be so narrowly defined that people who actually would qualify for care don't qualify. So I will give them that as kind of a, you know, okay, I get why you're trying to be generic or vague or whatever, but sometimes it does create confusion. So the way that home health care is defined through Medicare or through, it's really defined through Medicare, but there's also Medicare Advantage that cover it, is it's intended to be a short-term solution to help somebody either recover from a previous injury or illness or a current one and kind of get them back to their baseline. I'm going to say that with some caveats, but that's typically how it's been seen. Something bad has happened. You've been in the hospital, you had a fall, you've had an injury, you've had a surgery, whatever. And so then home health that's done through nursing, physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, sometimes social worker and sometimes home health aide, they come out and work with you to kind of get you back to what we call your previous level of function. There's some issues with that too, but that's kind of how it's been designed. And it's supposed to be very infrequent and very short term. And so the way that Medicare defines it is less than, it's wild, it's less than daily. So if you need care 7 days a week, home health is not your place to be. It's supposed to, that would be like a skilled nursing facility or a rehab facility. Because their interpretation of that, Medicare's, is if you need services that regularly, you probably shouldn't be at home, right? So that's kind of one of the things. And the other thing is it has to be fewer than 8 hours a day, which again creates some confusion because what they mean by 8 hours a day is if you needed a nurse to come out there and do an infusion. I don't know if I missed an infusion. If you need an infusion that lasts several hours, that's where they put that little caveat in of
and see,
under
that's
8 hours
where
a day.
Families get so uh-huh. confused
because
they
when
read
you read
this.
That, yeah, because when you read that, like, oh, well, heck, Medicare is going to cover somebody out in my parents' home, maybe not 7 days a week, we can get six, for 8 hours a day. And that's not what they intend by that. And so this is one of those things where Medicare needs to do a better job of figuring out how to write stuff so it's less confusing. But technically, the reason why they include that eight-hour thing is really for infusions. They are not intending for the nurse to sit out there or the caregiver to sit out there or the therapist to be out there for 8 hours a day. They're just trying to make sure they don't negate somebody needing care that needs like an infusion or whatever.
So what's the average duration of a patient going on home health? Yeah.
I think the average duration is somewhere between 30 to 45 days. You'll see some that will go a little bit longer as a general. And by the way, some of that's actually driven by reimbursement rules. And so we don't have right. to get into how the thing's structured because it just gets confusing. But typically it's usually about a full cert period or just a little bit underneath is kind of how you would see that. I haven't run the statistics in a while, but I know there were a lot of agencies when the reimbursement rules changed, they were trying to get them in and out within 30 days. I think they've relaxed that to some degree. So that thing seems to be a little bit in flux. But let's just say for 60 to 90 days is probably somewhere around average on some shorter term things like where you have a surgery or you've got a recent hospitalization or an ethno orthopedic type thing, it might be a little bit less. But if we say 60 to 90 days, it probably captures the vast majority of them. And that usually is, again, depending on patient need, whether they need nursing, because sometimes they don't, whether they need physical therapy or occupational therapy. And those frequencies can fluctuate depending on need. Like we have a new orthopedic case right now that we're doing daily for the first week and then three times a week for the next couple of weeks. Those aren't typical. Kind of our typical patient is somewhere between two and three times a week for several weeks. And then we may back off to one time a week or whatever, but that kind of gives you at least an idea. And that's like per discipline as needed. So, but I think the key takeaway that, or the key thing that causes some confusion is when they're kind of trying to figure out home care versus like the home health care piece. So the home health care piece, when there's health care put in it, the implication is that it's paid for by insurance, whether it's Medicare or Medicare Advantage or some other commercial plan. That is a medical need that's covered through your medical insurance. Whereas with home care, you can kind of describe what that looks like.
Yeah, I will. And I do want to say, when you're in the hospital, usually a case manager is focusing more on the home health, what Medicare provides. The hospital is usually not working hard to recommend home care.
Yeah.
The hospital tends to recommend, right, the health side.
Yeah.
So home care, where we look at home health, kind of the difference, home health is medical, home care is care, custodial care, getting them to the shower, making sure they're eating, you know, getting dressed, that's home care. Now, home care can include nurses. That's what I used to do. I had nurses and nurses' aides, but most, generally speaking, private duty PAS agencies, personal assistants, are that. They're just custodial care.
And they're usually paid for by what?
They are paid for privately. So what people think that home care is going to be paid for by Medicare, it is not. Now, there have been companies, I know Humana at one time offered a program. It was 40 hours a year of home care. But they would offer, a family could take 2 hours if they wanted to. Mm-hmm. Well, from a staffing perspective, that is a nightmare to staff. There's nobody can pay their bills working 2 hours a day. And so, unless you're just independently wealthy or your family is, but for the most part, that program that they tried failed because really, you know, to find a decent person, decent staff member, you've got to do 4 hours a day or more. You know, if you want quality, you've got to pay them.
Yeah.
You know, nobody can pay their bills making $20, you know.
I don't work in that industry, but I know you and I both have friends that own agencies like this. And it seems like, if memory serves me correctly, it's been a few years ago that Medicare actually, I don't know why I would say allowed, but Medicare allowed them Medicare Advantage plans, which, by the way, they're not Medicare plans. These are commercial run insurance plans that use your Medicare dollars. But Medicare allowed these commercial insurances under the guise of a Medicare Advantage plan to offer home care coverage. But for like a number of years, it was allowed and they would market it, it was like nothing was happening. Nobody knew how to get contracts with them or something.
They didn't know what to do. They did not know what they were doing.
Okay.
And it's kind of that Humana thing.
The agencies, or they being the insurance, didn't know what they were doing.
The insurance companies
didn't know what they were getting into.
Right. They did not know what they were getting into.
Yeah.
So what's really interesting, when I started my private duty agency back in 2005, there were maybe a handful of PAS private duty agencies. I knew I had an idea. I thought, gosh, you know, there is such a need. There are only a handful of companies doing this. And, you know, that's what I need to do is just get in there. And it was interesting because other people had the same idea I did. Because all of a sudden there were just franchises popping up everywhere. And now they're hundreds.
They're following the wave.
Yeah,
the
they are. Wave. Yeah. Hundreds out there to choose from. But basically, an agency will get a name. There are a lot of franchises that do advertising, you know, Heaven at Home and Home Instead and Right at Home. And anyway, what they do, though, is they go out and they send somebody to do an assessment, work on what your needs are. Maybe it's 4 hours, three times a week, or maybe you've got somebody that needs around-the-clock care. Anyway, they go out and meet, and then they will determine what you need. They'll let you know the cost. So home care is roughly 4 hours a week to 168 hours a week.
Which is 24/7.
24/7. It is paid for privately. The other option is if your client has a long-term care policy. Mm-hmm. If they do, it will pay up to sometimes I've seen 100 a day, 150 a day. I have one patient right now that his insurance policy is outstanding. He was an insurance salesman, so he was smart. That was mm-hmm. his career. He gets $315 a day.
Per day.
Which is great. Yes. So home care is privately paid.
And right then, unlike Medicare home health, there's no specified duration. And that's not specified with home health. It's supposed to be once there's no longer skilled services needed, Medicare is going to stop paying for mm-hmm. it. But in home care, you can have that
you
forever.
Have it indefinitely. And I know we had clients that were on our service for 5, 6, 7 years. So, you know, once you have a, you know, a family loves, you know, caregiver Sally and caregiver Ed, you know, they keep Sally and Ed for the duration mm-hmm. and it's wonderful. So that's, you know, you want somebody consistent and, you know, it's a win-win for the family, yeah. for the caregivers. So anyway, but yes, it is paid for by the family. Usually too, they get a weekly bill and you have to stay current because the agency is paying that caregiver every week. So, you know, it's not something you can put off. Yeah. You got to pay.
Yeah, you keep up with it.
Got to keep up with it. That's right.
One of the other things I run into, and this is specific to our world within the home health world, is that whenever there is, because we work with a few insurance policies, and whenever there's a restriction on, hey, we're only going to authorize this many visits, we'll have a family member call us and go, yeah, but I thought they were supposed to cover what Medicare covers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yep, it's actually in their regulatory, their regs for, you know, them contracting with Medicare. However, they ultimately, the insurance companies, utilize some sort of a case utilization, like review, to look at individual cases to determine what they think the skilled services that are necessary are going to be for your loved one. Not what the doctor thinks, that's actually laid eyeballs on your mom. Not what the therapist and the nurse think, have actually visited your mom in her home. Some lady at a desk or some guy at a desk 1,000 miles away is going to look at documentation and go, based on your diagnosis and based on what the doctor said and the nurse said and the therapist said, we're going to authorize, you know, whatever it is, 4 or 6 visits. Mm-hmm. And these have gotten much worse over the last, you know, several years, whatever, really the last few years, really kind of started like 3 years ago where they sort of become a lot more tamped down on this. And so, yes, while they technically are supposed to offer what Medicare says they're supposed to cover, which is if there's a skilled need, you can be out there. They have like an editor, if you will, whose sole job it is to help restrict access so that the cost for the Medicare Advantage plan goes down. Yeah. So while it's technically covered, there is somebody else behind the scenes at an insurance company who's looking to see, is this really necessary or not? Who's never talked to your mom, never laid eyeballs on her. And so that is another one of these things that we deal with regularly too, where it's like, hey, but mom needs this. Like she's falling. And we're like, we know, but insurance is only covering this. And so it does create some issues. And we've seen that actually at the rehab facility level and the skilled nursing facility level where their insurance is saying, hey, we're not covering anymore. And so those patients have an option. You can discharge or you can privately pay. Mm-hmm. So that's another one of these things that we see.
Yeah. And the private pay rate going now in Dallas is between $30 and $35 an hour.
For home care.
For home care.
Private duty, yeah.
For private duty home care. And that can add up. That is about, you know, $4,000 a week. And so we're talking 4,000 times 4 a month. That's mm-hmm. $16,000 a month.
Yeah.
And I mean, that is a lot of money. It goes fast. And I know with the economy, people are concerned about cost. In fact, I was on a call today with fellow care managers. And everybody all over the country was talking about people are just trying to cut costs, mm-hmm. you know. And unfortunately, home care is a private pay business. Yes. And so...
And highly susceptible to inflation because mm-hmm. as business costs are increasing, like across the country and in every sector, it seems like, you have to compete with, you know, retail and food wages. Mm-hmm. And so if you're, and caregiving is a hard job.
Caregiving those people is who do that job
are amazing and they're loving and they're wonderful people. That is a much more challenging job than working in a store someplace or in an office someplace. And mm-hmm. so because everybody else's rates are going up to keep up with inflation, so too, unfortunately, does the caregiver rates, because mm-hmm. you have to be able to woo them enough with enough dollars to come and actually work for you.
Yes. And there's, yeah. you know, with the, for the caregiver, I agree. Like I was in Bucky's the other day. I love Bucky's, but they had a sign, beginner, you know, starting salaries, starting hourly is $18 to $23 an hour.
Yep.
Okay. You go to Chick-fil-A, starting hourly, $16 to $18 an hour. Mm-hmm. So then these caregivers, if they have the luxury of working at Bucky's, having fun and,
right.
you know, it's and then, yeah. you know, you make less money to be with someone that, let's talk about maybe he's 300 pounds and he's total just dead weight.
That's a hard job.
It is a hard job. And, you know, that's the thing as a care manager and, you know, when I did own my agency is, you know, families were so quick to complain, like, oh, this is costing so much. And so-and-so is just sitting there. Yeah, but you know what? So-and-so gets up every time your dad has to turn and move. And it's hard. It's hard on him. It's hard on her. And you all don't want to do it.
Yeah. So, and a lot of what you need is the supervision stuff anyway. It's the safety mm-hmm. stuff. So long as they're engaging with them, it usually is okay.
Yeah.
One of the other things that we get comments on our questions on is the use of home health aid. And what I have a very different take. So I'll explain like what the regs say, and then I'll tell you what our take is at my company. And so typically what I'm asked for is, hey, we were told that Medicare covers an aide to come out and sit with mom or watch mom or do some convalescent care stuff or whatever. I'm like, actually what Medicare covers is it has to be specific to whatever the injury or illness is or the functional deficits derived from that. And so,
you know, has it always been that way?
It's always been that way.
Okay.
Yes.
But it used to be, I remember home health years ago, they always send an aide.
Yes.
Always.
It's a different world. Mm-hmm. And 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it wasn't done on a capitated reimbursement model that it is now. It's like, you just send whatever you need out there and Medicare covers the bill, whether it's a home health aide or a nurse or a therapist or whatever. And they realized that was really expensive. And so now they have this capitated thing that just essentially says, based on your diagnosis and whatever's going on at home, this is what we're going to reimburse the agency for. And the agency has to figure out what services and what frequency is appropriate for you, but that they can still afford. That's kind of the gain, I should say. And so home health aid has been one of these things where, let me back up and I'll give you some background information. I used to work in research, and what we found was when we were assessing patients who are on with a home health company that used a home health aid, their long-term outcomes were actually less. They were worse. Here's why, which was always confusing for us to see.
Shocking.
Because you would think that, okay, well, we're offering them services. What ends up happening is I'll just rip the band off. It is a band-aid approach. It's you're seeing an issue with dressing, bathing, or some sort of other functional thing. And so we're putting a band-aid approach on there to send a home health aide out there. And they're not supposed to be there for very long. It's another short-term thing. Now you probably see it's on average probably two times a week for 2 or 3 weeks, whatever, and they're out. Four agencies that still cover it. But we found that the long-term outcomes were actually worse because you were not setting the family up or the patient up for long-term success. And so you gave them a system that was working for them short term, and then all of a sudden you yank it out and they're like, okay, what do I do now? And so the way that we
do it, you provide teaching. Okay, let's get in the shower correctly.
Right.
Make sure you've got mats on the floor.
So that's why we do it through the OT.
Wow.
So
okay.
So it costs me four times as much.
Okay. So your occupational therapist mm-hmm. will help them with the
you
shower.
Got it. Yeah.
Wow.
So I wouldn't use an aide to go out there and try to train on a proper transfer or the equipment or whatever needs to happen. I'm like, why don't we just do it through the OT? Because they're the ones who are trying to do that anyway. So we do the aide stuff, if you will, but they're not really aides. They're like highly professional, highly trained clinicians. we're accomplishing the same thing that the family is looking for. But while they're there, they're assessing for how do we make sure that this system is going to be good for them for the long haul. And so that's our approach. It's all clinically based, even though it costs me four times as much. But it's a better long-term outcome.
So question. Yeah. So if you do see right away for home health, if you go out, you do an assessment and the family says, well, do you all openly share, get a home care in here as well?
Oh, for sure.
So yeah, you all do utilize the benefit of having both home health and home care.
Totally. Because it depends on the scenario. So ask that question just one second. Let me go back to the home health aide. So the other rub on the home health aide piece of it is it's one of the things that the surveyors like to come out and blow you up on. And so there's a lot of regs on just the home care part of it. There's a lot of boxes you have to check. And so there's been a move for a lot of home health agencies because they get blown up for surveyors on home health aides that many of them don't offer it or don't offer it nearly as frequently. So I'm seeing like the average is like twice a week.
Explain to the layman, what do you mean blown up?
Deficiencies on their survey that get reported to the state.
Wow.
Yeah, all because you have home health aides that are out there that, they weren't doing the supervisory stuff as frequently. Gotcha. Or there wasn't a care plan for the plan of care specific to the aide or a whole host of other things. It seems like there's a lot more writing on the home health aid reg than there is even for PT. And so, and that's been coming for a while, but you'll see fewer agencies. There's still plenty of them that do, but fewer agencies are offering the home health aid. We don't just not offer the home health aid. We just do it with the OT.
Okay. So, I have a question while I'm thinking on it. So I notice because I love the job that Nexus does. And so several of my clients have your home health and y'all do amazing. And I always see a notebook. Mm-hmm. But I have worked with so many home health agencies that I never see a notebook.
Yeah.
I don't see any paperwork. I see no phone numbers, and also the after hour, aren't you guys supposed to be available after hours also?
Technically, yes, 24/7. So we do have an on-call nurse. Now we will triage phone calls, but yes, we answer the phone 24/7. Yeah.
So if you have to bill for an emergency visit, you cannot bill for an emergency visit.
It's covered under that 30-day payment essentially.
Wow.
So anything that goes into that patient's case is covered into that. Whatever Medicare is deemed, this is what you're going to get for 30 days. It's whatever services fall underneath that. This is all you're getting. So, which is why you'll hear some people say, Medicare is only going to cover so many visits. It's not true. They're saying it that way so they don't have to explain it to the family of, hey, we've got a lot of clinicians going out to see your mom or your dad, and we've got to create margin somewhere because if we don't create margin, we don't stay in business, right? And so I've worked for some major ones. And so a lot of these agencies, they train their administrators to look at their cost or their gross margins on a per patient basis. We don't. I look at it as in the aggregate. And so if in the aggregate, we're starting to see that stuff be a lot more compressed, then we probably need to make some changes. But right now we are very lenient and very liberal in terms of the therapy need or the nursing need that any patient needs. And so I try to stay away from the financial piece of it on a case by case basis. And I just look at it holistically. So,
right. That's great.
But in terms of the folder, It's a Medicare reg, and most companies are really good about leaving a folder in there. I will say this, there's a reason why ours are turquoise, because it's easy to spot.
They are very easy to spot.
Because those folders will get up and walk away, and nobody can find them to document like vital signs or any kind of other notes or whatever. And so sometimes that might just be a simple explanation of why you don't see that in there. Yeah.
You know, one thing just making me think too, if say you are on home health or home care, if you do have to go to the ER for whatever reason, maybe you need to get IVs, you're dehydrated or fell and just want to be checked out, always keep that paperwork and put it with the notebook with the home health or the home care. So when a supervisor does go out, we can see that. we have a client, a mutual client that went to the ER and nobody knows what happened to his paperwork. And the ER,
because they certainly didn't send it over to us.
Yes. And we didn't get it either, but they brought it home and there were important lab values, you know, his lab results. And so just trying to get that paperwork after the fact is hard. So always that paperwork is important.
Yes.
You know, for your next doctor visit or whatever. So just save that paperwork.
That's right. Yeah. The other thing we get questions on, and then again, this is on the home health piece of it. This is what's covered by Medicare, is several years ago, Medicare got sued over refusing to pay for maintenance therapy. And so there's two types of therapy you can look at this way in just broad categories. One is restorative, which is what we talked about before. Mm-hmm. That is something bad has happened, an injury, an illness, a surgery, whatever. And so I need help getting back to my previous baseline. By the way, for an older person, sometimes that baseline is pretty terrible to begin with. And so I would recommend that you get with a home health company who's not just getting them back to baseline, but also, hey, what are the things we need to solve for the future? But that's a whole other discussion. So there's restorative care, and then there's maintenance therapy or maintenance care. And so what maintenance care is supposed to be about is about preventing future decline where skilled services are still necessary. And so that, again, it's a very broad definition, intentionally vague, which sometimes I actually do appreciate the way Medicare writes things, sometimes I don't, but it's intentionally vague so that they don't disqualify seniors who would actually benefit from this. And so Medicare was sued several years ago because a skilled nurse, I believe it's a skilled nursing facility, I think they were taken to court or something. And so they in turn, somehow there was a lawsuit against Medicare that said, hey, you should be covering maintenance because if there's a decline in a patient, like you should be paying for this. Mm-hmm. And so the court upheld that decision and said, yes, you're exactly right. Medicare should be helping to prevent future decline. Because, you know, when you're dealing with an older person, where most of the expenses is the decline.
Right. And it's if they go back and forth to the hospital.
So if we can avoid some of the future costs because we're working with somebody on a maintenance basis, then that's where that's useful. For several years, though, most agencies wouldn't touch it. And so I had my staff a few years ago go through some specific training on how do we document for this stuff? We passed all the, you know, their audit checks or whatever. So anytime we've had somebody go through the audit, it always goes through because we've learned how to document for those things. And so, but there is a point for some of our patients where as we're getting them past the restorative care category of care, we actually transition them. It doesn't look any different to the family other than maybe a little bit less frequent of visits, but we move them over to kind of a more maintenance thing to help prevent some of the decline there too. And so Medicare does cover that. But again, it's not designed to be there forever. There's still kind of a cutoff. Medicare doesn't determine what the cutoff is. Usually your agency will because they understand the 3,000 pages of regs that we have. Mm-hmm. And so they'll kind of be able to figure out, hey, at some point, and we're probably approaching there, Medicare is going to stop paying for this. And so that's usually when they'll recommend a discharge. But it does buy us a little bit of time to continue to work with families.
So how does the process work? So when you get one myth, you know, I've had patients that were in the hospital and were told they were going to get Medicare home health. Mm-hmm. And 8 days go by, they have not heard from anybody. So what does the regulation say? Uh-huh. How quickly is the norm for somebody to call and set up an appointment? Just what's the turnaround time?
Yeah. So let me give you what's supposed to happen and then I'll give you some stats that I pulled recently. The turnaround time, if you will, Medicare guidelines or rules state that within 48 hours. Now, it's a rule in that if you don't get them admitted within 48 hours, then there's no financial penalties for it. It just looks bad on paper if you were to compare agencies, okay? By the way, there's a way to cheat this system too, so be aware of that. So just because it says that they're admitting timeliness, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's the case. And sometimes it's legit. Like there are times where the family members say, hey, mom's discharging on Saturday, we would be there on Sunday. And like, can you wait until Monday? Because Sunday is kind of a busy day, or wait until Tuesday. And so there are some times where they push back. But Medicare regs are 48 hours or less in terms of admission. There are times where we have heard from family members and patients where they were supposed to be set up. We have one right now that was supposed to be set up following a surgery, an orthopedic surgery, by the way, where they had not heard from a home health company in a week. And actually they've been referred to two different ones because the first one didn't show up. And you're like, so sometimes, you know, I think I think everyone's trying to do the best job they can. I think sometimes some agencies' systems maybe not be as tight as they would like them to be. And so things do fall through the cracks. And so, but to answer your question, Medicare rules are 48 hours. For us personally, anybody who's been in a facility, they're seen within 24 hours. So, but here's the thing. It makes it really helpful if when they're being discharged from a facility, like a hospital or a rehab hospital or a skilled nursing facility, if we have advanced notice, like a day or two, I don't need like a week, but a day or two, it makes it easier for us to make that happen and make it easier on my nursing staff to make it happen for the very next day if we get advanced notice. Because we still get some of these at times where, or the family members haven't decided who they want to go home with, and then I get a fax at 6 p.m., the day they go home going, hey, here's a new referral for you. And I try to make it work for that very next day. But sometimes depending on nurse's schedule, that's a hard ask. Cause now I got to move somebody else off of a nurse's schedule who may be upset with the nurse because, oh, you just want to get another patient in. Mm-hmm. When really, if we'd had a couple of days notice, it would have made that a lot more seamless. But 24 to 40 hours is kind of the standard, but we do see plenty of cases where they're just not being seen.
And so as far as home care goes, so I want to share this. So we had a patient, it was probably 10 years ago. This family of this patient had given millions of dollars to this hospital. He was being discharged with a UTI. Mm-hmm. It was about 4 o'clock on a Friday. The daughter was given a list of names of agencies to call. She was like, my dad really needs care around the clock, mm-hmm. at least for the next week. Yeah. It was 5:15 and I happened to be taking the phones that evening. So with home care, you want to utilize an agency that always has somebody that answers the phone after mm-hmm. hours yep. because you're like an ER. You're always open. People can fall. Infection can occur. Mm-hmm. Staff cannot show. Yep. So anyway, we got this call. I got a call. It was 5:17 and it was a very, very well-known family in DFW. And she said to me, she said, I have called 6 companies and nobody has answered their phone. You are the first person that's answering the phone. Thank God. I don't know who you are, but I need you out to help me with my dad.
Wild.
It was crazy. Can you imagine? So it's so important. I mean, you know the integrity of the company. You mm-hmm. know, really, are they answering the phone?
Right.
You know, because well, in the big scheme of things, it's yeah. still healthcare.
You still you know? Want to make sure that there's this, and I would kind of put this back on the discharge planner. Like you still want to make sure that there's a proper discharge plan. Like we should be, if we have an idea of when a patient's discharging, and I get it. Sometimes it doesn't work that way. Sometimes they discharge fast, but where you can, it should be, let's try to start getting you connect with these agencies beforehand. Because, you know, if you go home after hours, like you may not get a call that day.
Well, and that's part of teaching though. Yeah. And the case managers in the hospital have so much they're doing and they do not have time to educate, you know? And so maybe it's a team effort with the staff, you know, everybody say, okay, let's all start talking about discharge, you know, from the bath visit at the hospital. Hey, what are you going to do? How do you get your bath at home? Or what are your expectations?
Yep.
So anyway, that was one thing I just wanted to say is what's going on after mm-hmm. hours. And as far as intake for me, the way I did things and for my clients, what I recommended them to look for is how quickly can somebody be out?
Yes.
Is an RN going to go out and evaluate the home? Mm-hmm. You know, we had a client that I went out to do the evaluation. Thank goodness. We didn't send a caregiver out before going out. We always had somebody go out and set up a care plan. Mm-hmm. This patient in a very nice area of Dallas had raccoons in one of the bedrooms.
Just raccoons or raccoons?
Raccoons. Raccoons. A raccoon family. And so I'm like, okay, ma'am, do you know that? And I said, do you know that you have raccoons running around in this room? And, oh yeah, we'll just keep the door closed. And I knew there was no way I could send a female to a home with raccoons.
Oh my gosh.
And so I said, the only thing I think I'm going to be able to do is get some guys that are okay, you know.
Were these like house pets of theirs?
No, they just had a window that was broken and it was a nice house.
And they just let them
but
in.
They would just climb in through the window and they knew they were in there. And I guess there was a little dimension. Oh, well, we've got some raccoons on occasion. I know. I know. Oh my God. So just, you know, yeah. just, you know, so what I did was I made sure a male caregiver went yep. and they were fine with the raccoons yep. and it all worked great. We were there for weeks yeah. and we did finally get a animal control out. We yeah. got the window fixed, but they didn't have adult children, you yeah. know, they were, right. you know, on their own and doing the best they could. Yep. So anyway, so that was another thing too. Just, you know, when we go to the home, you know, I had an example of a patient. I got a call and it was probably 7 a.m. on a Saturday. And I went out to meet with a family at like 9 and they're like, we need a caregiver right away. So I get out there. They did not tell me, the hospital neglected to tell me that the patient was 550 pounds. Whoa. And so number one, that's a 2-person assist. Mm-hmm. One person cannot even, no. you, know, even no. out, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That might be 3 actually.
Yes. Yeah. yeah. It's hard. And so you want to make sure you educate the family and prepare them, mm-hmm. you know? So I got out there and I said, we can't send one person. I can't do this. It's got to be 2 people just for safety.
Yeah.
So just things that you want the hospital staff to do that initial. Sometimes they don't. So give the home care agency and the home health agency yep. a little bit of grace because we don't always get all the information that's imperative to the best care.
Oh yeah, we see stuff all the time. It was missing notes by the time we get out there. We're like, whoa, mm-hmm. this wasn't in the hospital documentation. Good to know. that's why we do a huge comprehensive assessment on
that. Here's another yeah. one that I get asked. Yeah. And so I was always told that the home health would order any equipment needed. So for yes. home care, I never knew what to do. So I would just always recommend that they either call yep. their doctor, or there's a company that rents hospital mm-hmm. beds and things, or they could go to their local Walmart and get their walker or wheelchair or whatever.
Yep.
So what is the fact? Do home health agencies order and supply equipment?
I'm so glad you asked this because we just had this happen with us in the last few weeks, a few times actually. And so there's some confusion because it's home health, right? So it's home equipment, it's home this. And so
it's rehabbing with that equipment.
That's right, exactly. So it seems like that should happen.
It would make sense.
Yeah, the reality is it doesn't. It doesn't work that way. And so the medical equipment companies are Medicare certified themselves, a separate industry than home health is. And so they would end up supplying certain supplies. Now, there are certain things that we do cover. We do cover wound care supplies. We do cover ostomy supplies and catheter supplies and those mm-hmm. kind of things. If it's mm-hmm. something, I'll put it this way. If it's something specific to nursing outside of like a bed, like with a air cushion for pressure ulcers or whatever, if it's something specific to nursing, we do cover that because that's included in what Medicare allots us for the care of your loved one. If it's something that's more mobility equipment or furniture, so like a hospital bed with an air cushion, a walker, a wheelchair, a 3-in-1 commode, all those kind of things. By the way, 3-in-1 commodes aren't actually, if you're not using it in the bathroom, it is actually covered by Medicare. If you move it in the bathroom, then it's considered not covered by Medicare. For some reason, once you cross into the bathroom threshold, Medicare stops paying for it. It's weird.
That's bizarre.
So I say all that to say, those equipments come from a different entity, but we for sure help to elicit the speediness of getting that equipment. And so a lot of times if they're coming out of a hospital, that those equipment orders will have already been signed for by the doctor and they will have been sent to a medical equipment company. Sometimes those orders never happened. And so then our therapists and our nurses will work on getting the order signed by the doctor. And then we in turn then send them over to the DME company. But while we do, in fact, we created a whole different process for DME so we could actually follow up on it because we were running into issues where it just wasn't signed fast enough. And so while we do help to expedite it, it still doesn't come from us. It needs a signature from the doctor and it still needs the DME company to actually deliver the stuff. Now, we do help connect the two, but as home health, we do not do the equipment piece.
So for a best practice answer, mm-hmm. so as a nurse navigator, yep. I've called home health, hey, Mr. Jones needs a hospital bed. This is the response I'll get. We don't do that.
Are they currently on service with a patient?
They're on service. We don't do that.
Yeah, that's
so
crazy.
What do I respond to that?
I think, well, that goes to a broader question that I see, and it's not just home health, it's everywhere. Hospitals, physician practices, you name it. We have got to stop looking at the patient through this narrow lens of this amen. Is what I freaking do.
I know.
We need to start looking at it through lens of what does my senior patient and their family members need from me, whether I can provide it or that I can provide a resource that does it. And I think if we stop with this narrow focus and we start doing this, I think a lot of these things will go away because you'll start to realize there's a ton of resources here in the DF, everywhere, but here specifically in the DFW Metroplex, we have great, you and I have great resources. Mm-hmm. You know, if I hear one thing, podiatrist that does house calls, good luck finding one. I have several. Like, so there's all these resources that you can actually connect people to. So I think that's the bigger issue is stop being so insular in like your focus. And so, yes, if you were to call me, we have a patient on service with you, like, hey, can we work on getting a hospital bed? We would look at the criteria because there's certain criteria. We already know this because we work with DME companies, but there's certain criteria that where you would qualify for bed. Or if you just want to cash pay for it, it's $175 a month, I think was the latest quote I got for like a fully electric one.
Mm-hmm. I think it's like $175
yeah.
a month.
Now, yeah, if you want like an air too. Cushion, I think that adds like another $400 a month, but you can cash pay for this. And we've actually had patients cash pay while they're waiting on getting a physician order. And so there's ways to work this.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? I've had families that are just desperate. And I've said, go to Facebook Marketplace. They have, you can find beds for sale.
Yeah.
And, you know, but that's just the thing. I know you have to get an order. So as the home health, you all would say, or what they should say is, we will need to call the doctor. Mm-hmm. And we can help get that arranged.
Absolutely. They just need to be a connecting resource for you. Because mm-hmm. ultimately the doctor has to ultimately send the order to the DME provider. But who do you think's faster to connect with? Mm-hmm. The home health that is already out there working with you or the physician practice? Like I would say just call. If you have a great relationship with your physician, you have a concierge doctor, you can text and go, hey, mom needs this. Fantastic. Go that route because that's going to be faster. But if you don't have that close of a relationship or it's a much larger physician practice that you can't reach them for a day or two, then I would just go to the home health, go, hey, I really think mom needs a hospital bed or they need this kind of walker or whatever. If it's mobility equipment, I'd recommend going through the PT because there's some things to look out for. But yeah. We can definitely help resource that.
And I think, you know, too, just with the home health, home care, the bridge. So what we would do, and I like to do as case manager, is I will always call the home health and I will coordinate a partnership with that home health and the home care. Yep. Let's say patient's daughter is a teacher and is gone 7 to 3 mm-hmm. every day. And so they need a caregiver in those hours.
Sure.
And so we coordinate. You know, you might say, we've got physical therapy there on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So be sure the caregiver watches and listens because there's some things that they can do on the days we're not there. Another thing is I get questioned by families. Well, mom got this huge bill, but they just sit there. And so I'll say, did you sign the care plan? You know, did you go over the care plan? Family members or patients are always supposed to be involved in the care plan and to sign the care plan. Yep. So you are in charge of what that caregiver does. Mm-hmm. Now, they cannot do cooking and deep cleaning.
Right.
They cannot do, I had a patient that wanted the caregiver to make chicken cordon bleu one day. and she wasn't from America. And I said, you know what? That's not realistic.
Gordon Ramsay on YouTube?
Yeah,
oh, this is how you do it.
Have a run to Central Market, but just be respectful.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, we are a UN. You know, America's just we are United Nations here in America, and not everybody knows how to make maybe a dish that your dad just has to have.
Yeah.
But let's compromise somewhere.
Sure.
But as far as cleaning, the caregivers cannot do deep cleaning. They can run the sweeper. Mm-hmm. They do not mop the kitchen floor. They do not wax, clean windows, wax floors. Some families I've seen over the years will say, well, okay, while dad's sleeping, I had one, no lie. While dad's sleeping, I'd like for the caregiver to go clean the pool. Clean the pool outside. Wow. I know. So they can't do those kind of things liability wise. And also they are there to care for the patient.
That's right.
So if you want a housekeeper and cook, then hire a housekeeper or cook.
They're there to make sure the hygiene stuff is taken
they
care of.
So there it's not over non-medical ADL care. Right. It's activities of daily living. Yeah.
Well, right. Joe, we got to run, but we should do this again because there's a lot more questions that we get on a regular basis that we could address.
And please reach out to us. You know, if you have a question, I do get as a registered nurse, people just call me with questions like, okay, Joe, you know, my dad needs home health and I've been given A, B, C, and D names. What do you think? Yeah. Call me. I will give you my advice.
I get the same thing for rehabs Brian and SNFs as well. Yes. Like, who do you recommend? And so we've got a handful that we recommend.
Definitely. But and if you're not, if you don't like the answer you're getting, ask questions, get a second opinion, call one of us. We would love to help direct you because there is the best way to do things. And then there's the minimum way to do things. And Brian and I want the best. We want the best for your loved ones.
Yep, that's right. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you, Brian. Bye. Have a good day.